Wow, it is a delight to join in worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with you. And, you know, it's interesting sitting up front and singing those songs of praise to Jesus. I'm just enjoying myself, enjoying his presence, enjoying reflecting on who he is. But the problem with that sometimes is I'm enjoying myself so much, I'm like, wait a minute, I need to get up and speak in a moment. And so that being said, it's good to be at home with you. And as I shared with you before, when it comes to the Word of God, this is what God is saying to us. I have not arrived. And Mrs. Clemens would let you know that. But that being said, we are so blessed. Greetings from my dear wife of 25 years this past June. And we're grateful. Amen. Testimony to her perseverance. Grateful to God for my wife, and grateful to God for friends and family in the Lord, in which you all are. And so it's a delight to join in with you as we go to God and his word. And that being said, I noticed a number of you brought in your Bibles, or you're following with the scriptures on your phones. It's so important that when you hear the word of God taught, that you take it for yourself. Sit and listen and go back to those scriptures and pray. And you know, I'm not aiming to be off, but if I'm off, I don't want you to stumble off of where I misstep. So search the scriptures, pray, have a little talk with Jesus, like that old hymn is, and see what he has to say specifically to you as you apply his word. And so here we are at this second part of the Book of Ruth, a lovely, lovely book. And before we get started, we should pause for a word of prayer. Spirit of living God, we give you thanks for all that you have done and all the steps that went towards our redemption to buy us from out of the marketplace of sin and shame and to transport us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. We give you thanks. It cost you your very blood on the cross. And we thank you. For those who are here who are the redeemed, we couldn't help but thank you for all the good things you've done for us. As the song has been sung, Jesus paid it all. You, Jesus, all to him, all to you we owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but you washed it white as snow. And so with glad hearts, we seek to lift you up today from your word. Hide me behind your cross so that when all is said and done, the name of Jesus Christ will be glorified. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Some years ago in the late 70s, early 80s, a wealthy business owner by the name of Eugene Land was invited to speak to a group of junior high students. And his last name is Land. You can look it up. He was a millionaire, but he grew up in the rough areas of New York. He was a New Yorker. And he made good. And one of the teachers thought it would be good to invite him back to speak to the students, because at that time and in that particular neighborhood, there was a lot of drugs and prostitution and fighting. And statistically, those kids that he would be talking to, unless something radically changed in their life, they were going in that same direction. Statistically, more than likely, they would fall into gang life, or the ladies into prostitution, or the fellas into dope dealing, what have you. And so this particular wealthy individual went to the school, and he looked at these kids. It was nearly about 100 of them, and his heart was moved by them, and he just wanted to do something to give these youngsters some hope for a better day. And so after he got up and talked to them and looked at them, he said, "Kids, if you stay in school until you graduate, I'm going to pay for your college." He just put it out there. And of that class, and there's some pictures of him standing with those youngsters when they were a bit older, over 90% of them graduated high school and went on to college. Amen. We thank God for that, right? And wound up pursuing things that took them beyond where they started. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not trying to share some sentimental story about charity or to make small of someone giving, but It's really powerful hope and where you place your hope. And if you place your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have someone that invested his very life on the cross for you and for me to buy you out of sin and shame and destruction so that you have hope, not just in this life, but in the world to come. We have a Redeemer who cares if you go to bed at night in your tears. We have a Redeemer that cares if some kid is sleeping in a car homeless with their family. We have a Redeemer who cares for that young fellow who's in prison fighting to protect himself, or for that business owner who's struggling to make ends meet and pay his staff and maybe is considering suicide. The God of the Bible has great compassion, kindness, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. If you've heard those words before, this is how God describes himself. That's the God that I serve. And I'm so glad to share with you today from his word a beautiful story set in the backdrop of some of the most horrible times. If you weren't here before, you can hear it on the recording. The book of Ruth occurs during the times of Judges. And to say that the times of Judges was wilder than the wild, wild west, it's an understatement. If you want to do something, read the book of Judges and then read Ruth and consider that God's wonderful grace shows up in the life of this woman named Ruth, a Moabite widow, along with her mother-in-law, Naomi, who happens to be a widow from Israel, who is in a foreign land. And we can also say, as we'll see today, he shows up in the life of a very noble man by the name of Boaz. And so God puts his plan of redemption on display, not just in the New Testament, but we can see in the Old, the hidden hand of God. And so for this time this morning, we're going to look at redemption pursued in Ruth 3, which you have in your bulletin. I love that it's been printed out, nice and large print. And then we'll look in chapter 4, redemption purchased. And so we're going to pick up, we'll start in Ruth 3. And if you hear me go between Ruth and Roof, that's a bit of my Jersey accent creeping out. Okay, I got one over there who knows what I'm talking about. We eat baby roofs, not baby Ruth. All right. Sorry about that. Okay, let's go. Ruth 3, then her mother-in-law Naomi said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may go well for you? Now then, is Boaz not our relative with whose young women you were? Behold, he is winnowing barley at the threshing floor tonight. Wash yourself, therefore." Sounds like a quote from my mom. Long time ago, but anyway. "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not reveal yourself to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And it shall be when he lies down that you shall take notice of the place where he lies. And you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All that you say, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. And it happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward. And behold, a woman was lying at his feet. So he said, "Who are you?" And it's a good question. And she answered, "I am Ruth, your slave. Now spread your garment over your slave, for you are a redeemer." Then he said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You have shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, whether poor or rich. So now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you whatever you say. For all my people in the city know that you are a woman of excellence. But now, although it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is also a Redeemer more closer related than I. Remain this night, and when morning comes, if he will redeem you, good, let him redeem you. But if he does not wish to redeem you, then I will redeem you, as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning and got up before one person could recognize another. And he said, do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Again, he said, give me the shawl that is on you and hold it. So she held it, and he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. Then she went into the city. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, how did it go, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done for her. She also said, these 6 measures of barley he gave to me, for he said, do not go to your mother-in-law empty-handed. Then she said, wait, my daughter, until you know how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest until he has settled it today. There's a lot there in this third chapter, and if you heard the word redeem come up, redeem, redeem, we're dealing with a transaction. We think of redeem in our present day as it relates to money and purchasing things. And it seems odd, the idea of one person redeeming another, and this idea of, or what's found in Scripture in Deuteronomy 25 and in Leviticus 25 about a person called the kinsman redeemer. And so I want to talk about that a little bit to help us better understand what's happening. And even this thing of a threshing floor and barley harvest and late at night, and one can read this and kind of take it the wrong way. I thought I was here for worship, and this is kind of unusual. What's going on? So first, when God gives his word and his commands, they're perfect. And he gave the Israelites his law through Moses, and in giving it, he provided for widows when they would pass away. The custom or the command was this, that if a widow who had no sons and was left on her own, the brother of the man who passed away, their husband, they could take them as their wife. And you can read about it. And that was to preserve the lineage and name of that Israelite. And it was God's way of setting up a system of care among his people. And it stood out from the nations. Where other widows outside of Israel would struggle and starve, God's people took a care and dignity towards the most vulnerable among us. You can see the goodness of God in that, right? And here it was that Naomi was a widow alongside her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and God supernaturally guides them to the field of a wealthy landowner by the name of Boaz, who's related to their deceased. And so behind the scenes, redemption is being pursued by God. And so that being in mind, we have this great man by the name of Boaz. Now, if you want to read a little bit, his parents, Salmon, and that's a heck of a name, Salmon, and Rahab, if you're aware of the whole campaigns of war with Joshua, his mother was a harlot at one time. And yet God raised this man to be a nobleman, a man of honor, a man of valor, and that's how he's described, not just a man of wealth and means, but he's also a man of stature. And if you notice that when Ruth comes to his fields and he understands who she is and he knows her testimony and her character, he ensures for her safety, even as a foreigner and a Moabite widow. You can read that in the earlier chapters. So although his own family background came from such a place, and if you know in Scripture, God had blessed Rahab so that when Jericho fell, because of the kindness she showed to the spies, she too was brought into the family of God. God did a rescue mission in her life, and then gave her a husband of Salmon, and so she became a part of the covenant family. So that could very much have been in the background and the thinking of Boaz as it relates to Ruth. But what we know from the text is that he's a dignified man that women are safe around. So tuck that in the back of your mind a little bit. So to the barley harvest and to the threshing floor, and I'm not a farmer. My dad farmed in Georgia before he raised us in the city. And what we see in the scriptures, part of what they would do is in threshing wheat, they had something called a threshing floor. And think about an area that's kind of maybe a rocky area, kind of a stretched out area where they would lay out the husks of barley and wheat, and they would sledge it and crush it and have it plowed over, if you will, and so that the husk would break. And then someone would scoop it up, and by throwing it in the air, then the shell would fly away in the breeze, and then the good part that's going to be made into flour and all that would fall to the ground. And they would often do it at night because it was cooler and there may have been a breeze. But of course, where you're living in a land where there are raids and warfare and so forth, threshing often was done by the men. And they're out there working and putting in a hard day's work. And you know what it's like when you're having a good time. And so they're out there threshing. And think of just the blessing of food. I think y'all heard me say I love food, right? So harvest is a fun time because you're getting to see the fruits of your labor. And they're having a bit of a drink. Now, I know some among us may struggle with alcohol, and I don't want this to be your text to be like, hey, Boaz was drinking, I'm going to go get me a beer. Don't use it like that. You know, there are ministries that help us in our struggles. But can I say that in and of itself, when used in the right way, it can be a blessing. Scripture even says, give a strong drink to the dying man. And there's a sense that one can have a sense of satisfaction and rest. And so now, after a long day's work, Boaz and his men, well, bring it up to they're having a beer. And he's merry and having a good time. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And so he's happy. And his men are happy, and he's that kind of a man that he's welcome with them. And this is the context that Ruth shows up. And so Ruth, in this great plan of redemption, follows obediently the instruction of her mother-in-law. You see it in verse 3. She tells her to bathe herself, put on her best. But in verse 2, she reminds her that Boaz is their relative. So Ruth and Naomi, or Naomi by instructing Ruth, they're operating under the word of God. That's what I want you to see. This is not some form of entrapment. This is not some scandalous intrigue to sneak up on Boaz. But Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz are living under the word of God during hard times. Do you see application for us there? So the question comes up, how do God's children honor the Lord in the midst of suffering? Is it possible to live in the worst of times and by the aid of the Spirit, by His word, still honor Christ? Is it possible? You can talk back to me. Sorry. It is. It is. And we can see godly examples in Scripture. Boaz's mom may have lived in that life, but Boaz, he wasn't of that life. Are you tracking with me? He may have seen the mistreatment of women growing up. But while he's out in his business, you guys don't mess with those girls. Make sure Ruth is safe. Ruth is safe among his workers, but watch this. Ruth is safe with him. That's pretty cool, huh? God knew the right man to send Ruth to late at night. That's kind of a tough one. I want to talk to you fellas. Could we have been that guy? Let's be that guy. Let's be that guy. With our eyes, with our words. God's redemption is unfolding. And this godly man, who's older and just happy living before the Lord gets blessed. Interestingly, Naomi knew the character of this man. He knew the testimony. She knew the testimony, right? So that Naomi could say, this is what I want you to do. Bathe yourself and go lay at his feet and uncover his feet. And Ruth's testimony is one of obedience and submission. It's kind of interesting, right? What did she say to Naomi? Your people will be my people. Where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. And even more so, if anything but God separates us. So I want to talk to the ladies. Is your life marked by a submission to God and whoever he has over you? Don't hit me with a rock. I'm going to get run out by the fellas and the ladies. Now, the beauty of examples of Boaz and Ruth is they point to Jesus. Jesus did the will of the Father. And by the way, he's in their family line. Jesus submitted himself to the Father. When he was in the garden sweating droplets of blood, he said, if it's your will, let this pass for me, but not my will, but yours be done. And so we have his foreparents, if you will, in the flesh, doing and acting out a shadow of this greater redemption. Boaz is having a good sleep after he had a good beer, and he's happy, and she uncovers his feet. And there's a beauty to this, what happens when she says, spread your covering over me. It's a saying like spread your wings over me. It's a marriage proposal that's happening based on the word of God. So she knew and he knew what was happening when his feet were uncovered. And his response was, you've shown a greater kindness than to that before. He knew that her kindness, and you can see this, he says this in verse 10, may you be blessed of the Lord, my daughter. You've shown your last kindness to be better than the first by not going after young men, rather poor or rich. He knew how she showed kindness to Naomi. He knew that she left her family to take care of her. He knew that this hardworking woman set aside her own needs to love sacrificially her mother-in-law at the possible risk of her own life. But now Boaz is saying, you know, you proposing to me, you're showing even greater kindness. I'm an old man. And you could have gone after guys younger and stronger and healthier. So in this beautiful picture, sacrificial love is demonstrated by Ruth and Naomi, because she's looking out for her daughter-in-law. And now we're going to see it show up in Boaz, because, oh, he's motivated. He's motivated because he wants to honor her and marry her. Notice in the text that this same man who guarded her when she was working in the field wants to guard her dignity too. Do you see that? Tells her, lay down. And when it's time in the morning when no one can see, go away. Sisters that may be single, how does a man treat his family, his mom, his co-workers? Oh, this is a godly man. And so he is protecting her dignity, and he's motivated. But he not only, in this pursuit of redemption, protects her dignity, he still cares for her. He provides. He says, before you go back home, let me give you some barley. Let me give you some wheat. Did you see that in the text? Don't go back to your mother-in-law without anything. And he fills her up. And so that promise to redeem her is demonstrated with a pledge of support. He's already providing for her as if he's already married to her. Can we learn something a little bit about this? I heard someone say, you know, before you get married, maybe read through the book of Ruth 3 or 4 times and ask yourself some questions. And one of the authors I was reading not too long ago, what does it teach us about God? What does it teach us about human relationships in his kingdom? And even what does it teach us about ourselves? And where we're off on that, ask God to make those changes. And ultimately, how does it draw us into a greater love and appreciation and devotion to Jesus Christ? Amen? So we're going around the corner from redemption pursued. And boy, Boaz is on fire. Naomi tells him, wait, my daughter. You know the matter. See how it turns out. For the man will not rest until he has settled it today. Ruth chapter 4. Now we're going to look at redemption purchased. Redemption purchased. And I pick up from there. Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz spoke. This is another relative that's actually first in line ahead of Boaz. With whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, come over here, friend. Sit down here. And he came over and sat down. Then he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit down here. So they sat down. And he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has returned from the land of Moab, has to sell the plot of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. So I thought that I would inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me so that I may know, for there is no one except you to redeem it, and I am after you. And he said, I'll redeem it. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth of the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance. Then the Redeemer said, I cannot redeem it for myself. Otherwise, I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption since I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning the redemption and exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the way of confirmation in Israel. So the Redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. And he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, you are witnesses today that I bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Furthermore, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be eliminated from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today. And all the people who were in the court and the elders said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel, and may you achieve wealth in Ephratah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the descendants whom the Lord will give you by this woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he had relations with her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. May his name become famous in Israel, and may he also be to you one who restores life and sustains your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is better to you than 7 sons and has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. And the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez, father Hezron, Hezron father Ram, and Ram father Amminadab. And Aminadab fathered Nahshon, and Nahshon fathered Salmon. There he is. And Salmon fathered Boaz, and Boaz fathered Obed, and Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse fathered David. And that is the King David of the Bible. As we shared before, we see a picture of how God brought about King David to the throne through his family. And David, being the forefather of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was and is the son of David, was a part of this plan. And as we're kind of winding down a little bit, this idea of redemption purchase. Here it is, Boaz is not the direct first person, if you will, to redeem Ruth, but another person, a nameless person, is a nearer redeemer. And so, in keeping with the law of God, he was the first person to choose whether to marry Ruth and raise up children and maintain the name of the deceased, or to refuse. Now, if you read on your own Leviticus 25 and also Deuteronomy 25, that transaction was done. But I believe in Leviticus 25, if the man refused, the widow could actually have his sandal taken off, and this may be gross, but actually spit in this person's face to show a sense of shame because you are not taking care of the deceased loved ones. You can read that for yourself. Now, somehow at this point in time in the life of Israel, I don't see the spit part occurring here, but you do see the exchanging of the sandal. And so sometimes when the law was applied, and we see this sometimes in our own life, people kind of find their ways to wiggle around things. But we also see some wisdom as Boaz is pursuing redeeming Ruth. He approaches the man at this place where justice is carried out at the gate. And when you read the scriptures and you read about the gate in Israel, this is where the elders met. This is where laws were announced. And if there was an issue that needed to be tried, it was at the gate. So when justice was at the gate in Israel, it's a good thing. When there was injustice at the gate of Israel, it was a bad thing. You can read about that more in scripture. And so Boaz, motivated by the Lord, he sits with this man. And he has witnesses present because it's important. And he first says, you know, Elimelech, our brother, passed. His widow has a field that needs to be purchased. And he floats out just the material parts first. And at first, this gentleman's response is favorable, right? He's like, you want to buy it? He's like, yeah, sure, I'll buy it. And then he says, by the way, when you purchase this field, you ought to redeem the widow too. And then all of a sudden, the guy changes his mind. He's like, and he tells us, he's like, you know, I don't want to jeopardize my own inheritance. And if you want to buy it, you buy it. And not unlike Orpah from the earlier parts, people can have choices to make some really practical decisions. But oftentimes, those things can be really self-centered. Boaz is interesting in redeeming her and also abiding in such a way that the name of the deceased doesn't perish. And so, with that, this gentleman, who is nameless, walks away from being a part of a larger plan that God had in store to bring about David to the throne. And Boaz is ever so happy to marry her instead. I shudder to think about things that I've walked by and missed out on for just being selfish. I'm being a little silly here. I think there's a song, I forget who sang it. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. And oftentimes people may profess a love, but where there's no sacrifice or other-centered focus, it's not really love. And so, this gentleman misses out, but Boaz does not. And the transaction occurs in the presence of others, and it's official. And he takes Ruth as his wife. And we can pass by this, but verse 13, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Now, she had been widowed, she had been in poverty, and she had also been barren. And barrenness, if we feel like there's a sting to that in our culture today, not being able to have a children, in this culture, it had an even greater kind of sting and stigma, a sense of shame. And so God, by his grace, blesses Boaz, who's older, and Ruth, who is barren, with a son. Yeah, let's hand clap for Jesus, right? And they're so focused on doing for others that God does for them. The scripture says it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we live in such a self-centered, me-focused, selfies, narcissistic world that we miss out on the joy of seeing what God does in the lives of people. And so Boaz and Ruth experience that, and they're blessed with a child, and Naomi is blessed. Those same widows, the same women, rather, that were saying, is this Ruth? I mean, is this Naomi? And she said, don't call me Naomi, call me bitter. They're now saying, you know what, Ruth? I mean, messing up the names. Know what, Naomi? You are so blessed, and you have a daughter-in-law that's better than seven sons, and she is now truly no longer bitter, but better. And she is in a place of happiness in her old age and able to have a child, verse 16, on her lap, nursing her grandson as if it were her own. Isn't God good? And one of the things is when we're going through hard times, the evil one, the world, and the flesh will make us feel like this is it, when it might just be the beginning. And so as we come to a close, even though we're in the midst of COVID-19, God is still God. And he is still pursuing people to redeem them. And those who are among the redeemed, you are a part of a great rescue mission that God himself is doing through you that is extending to different peoples and nations and tribes and tongues. And to watch the hidden hand of God at work in people's life is amazing. Angels rejoice when one sinner repents. And I thank the Lord for his goodness of coming and staying. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for the many. Jesus Christ, Son of Abraham, Son of God, Son of David, let him be your Savior. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is seeking you. This world is a bitter place without God. Bible says the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But you know, if you have Christ, you have someone to lead and guide you, guard and guide you, correct and protect, and he'll lead you into glory. And so won't you choose Christ today as your Lord and Savior? If you're not in him, ask him to forgive you of your sins. Find shelter under his wings. May he be your Lord and Savior. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you. Great God that you are, one who saves and rescues. Your servant David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry, lifted me out of the pit, out of a miry clay, set my feet on a rock and made my footsteps firm. Many will see and fear, and I'll sing a new song. May this year be a year of a new song for somebody to give their life today to you, Jesus Christ, to repent and turn from sins and to place their full trust in you, just like Ruth did, like Boaz did, and like Naomi at the ladder. We want to thank you for your children who have been redeemed. May their hearts be set aflame to trust you and to follow you until you call us home into your eternal kingdom. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.